For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Chris Rodriguez Jr. calling us in about 12, 13 minutes or so. We'll find out why he decided to give up the 23.
Oh, wow, we're getting that info.
To Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah.
I mean,
ain't a bad joke.
The obvious answer is he's on the practice squad, and Marshawn Lattimore is the star corner. But I want to find out if Marshawn Lattimore gave him some jingle, taking him out to dinner or something.
Well, I'll say this about 36.
Mm-hmm.
First of all,
DJ Swearinger wore 36.
Swearinger,
and obviously Sean Taylor earlier in his
but
career.
But it's a good running back number.
Yeah.
It's not the worst number you
can have. No, not at all.
At least
not
he's not
all.
Running around in like 42 or something.
Real quickly, before we get to Paulie, Dwayne, and this is a good tweet, even though he disagrees with me. He said, the reason I can't agree with you about giving up the run is that it's much more demoralizing to a defense. It tires them out and completely takes their soul over a long period of time. I think that's a very, very excellent point.
And you
guys have to know that I am a huge run guy. I'm a huge proponent of the run, and part of the reason is just exactly what it says. Again, I'm not talking about what my philosophy would be in terms of how I build my roster. I'm saying how I get beat. To me, I'd rather get beat death by paper cut style than over the top, slam dunk, in your face, dagger in your back. But that again, that's just a way of going about things. And maybe I'm scarred from last year. You know, maybe I'm scarred from... I'm not telling you that this is fun, but like that first of the two drives in which they gave up all the rushing yards in the first quarter and first half, again, you can see like when you have to drive from your seven as the Giants did, and they were just marching the ball, boom, 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 the more plays you have to put together and the more plays you have to execute, they ran two pass plays on that drive. One was a six-yard loss, which Jeremy Chinn blew up, and one was the sack forced fumble. Now, they should have they shouldn't have blown the whistle on that. There was all sorts of issues with that. Let's get to Paulie on line six. I'm sure he's going to agree with Linnell or yell at us both. What's up, Paulie? How are you?
Paulie, what's going on, brother, man?
Hell to the W, man. Hey, Russell, you never spoke any truer words in your life.
Whoa.
This show is a disaster.
Thanks,
and it's led by you every day.
Thanks, Paulie. Thanks, Paulie. Appreciate
you're
you.
You're right, man.
I thought you were actually
right.
Going to say something smart, but, you know, it's apparently too much to ask.
I'm quoting your words. That was the smartest thing you ever said.
Yeah.
It was a disaster.
Yeah.
And every day is led
by
you.
It's not because of me. That's the problem.
My show.
What did he say? It's my show. It's my show.
How's your show at 2:36 in the morning, Paulie?
It ain't a disaster.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Tell you that much.
Yeah. The radio station wasn't even on last night at 2:36 in the morning.
Anyways, not knowing what they're talking about. Oh, come on, man. You kissed your butt to that spot. Hey, man. Shout out Cousin Pete, too, man. He had a little medical thing going on last week, man. Prayers to you. Love you. Anyways. Now, you show your football knowledge every day, bro. You have none. It's like Dwayne just said, shout out Dwayne, man. And Russ Grimm said, the way to most demoralize a team is to move a man against his will from one spot to the next.
Yeah.
So if you got a team who can consistently run against you, that it ain't just about strategic. It comes down to your heart now. They're taking your heart away from you. Now, you want to talk strategic. If a team can do that to you, just run at will whenever they want to, well, guess what else they can do against you? They can pass at will also, because now here comes the play action.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. When Tyreek Hill on the third play – let me ask you this. When Tyreek Hill on the third play of the game last December, December 3rd, at – then FedEx Field lined up in the slot and blew past whoever he blew past for a 58-yard touchdown or 60-yard touchdown run on the third play of the game. You don't think that accomplished the same thing?
Hey, guess what? The same thing happened when Moser got in there and ran for a touchdown. What do you, I just told you that. One thing it works against the other thing. My whole point is I'd rather be a strong run unit. Let me tell you the three components to what you're talking about. All right, you need the all-four passing. You need the offensive line blocking. Right, you need the receiver to get open, and you need a quarterback to make a good pass. That's three things I could defend against. When you're talking about running, it's just the offensive line making a block and a running back running. I take my chances on having to stop either getting pass rush to stop the quarterback and make him throw a bad pass. That's two, check. That's two checks right there. Or I got a defenders back there that can shut a receiver down. So that's three options I have that can stop these big plays. Where you just talking about handing the ball off and the offensive line moving people against their will. That's football, man. It's nothing more demoralizing than being run on. I can deal with giving up a big play because I can say, okay, I can fix this somewhere. There's an adjustment for that. I can stop it. I can double somebody if I'm smart. You know, we ain't had smart guys last year. We got smarter guys this year. That's why the defense might have been bad in the past secondary, but we still were 7-2.
Okay.
We're still able to get some stops when we needed to get stops. Last year, we couldn't stop nobody, nothing. It's like trying to stop you from running your mouth. It ain't going to happen. You know what I mean? It wasn't happening, bro. Linnell. I understand where you're coming from, and I'm not gonna get on you real bad. I understand where you're coming from, but the number one asset of Lattimore is to have against the pass, bro. I know what you're saying about he's gonna help out with the run. Yeah, you're right, but his number one thing is to have a ball hawking defensive back there.
Ah, so you agree with me, huh? That must kill you.
No.
The judge, jury, and executioner.
No, I don't agree. I would never agree with.
Well, you actually agreed with me just a second ago.
I agree with you I didn't. You said you'd rather have death by a thousand cuts, meaning you'd rather give up the run.
No, you're not paying. You're not paying attention as usual. I said. Early in the show.
See what it is? You're a flip flopper.
Did I not say early in the show that Marshawn Lattimore was being brought in to be a shutdown corner?
Okay, but that wasn't your main point. Yeah, you said that, but that was your main point was you'd rather give up the run.
Hijack that conversation and turn it into run versus pass and
pull. All right, enough. Enough. Chris, let him go.
Ain't enough.
Let him go.
He got in his hells to the W. That means he completely.
If I had the gong at my disposal, but Matt took it with him to Cancun.
Are there any other calls along?
Yes, but we got to take a timeout because Chris Rodriguez.
You said 3:10.
Okay. We don't have any time for the guys that agree with Linnell, just so you know. They're all still on.
Yeah, hold. I'm sorry. I ran out of time. We'll take them on the other side. How about that? We got a break.
Chris, it's 3:09.
Let's go to Ryan in Harrisburg so we can be late for Chris Rodriguez, despite my better judgment. Ryan, go right ahead.
Well, I agree with you, Chris.
Thank you, Ryan. Yeah,
he's late.
Go to Bruce.
You're a sweet man. You're a sweet man, Ryan. Thank you.
The only reason I would say that is the way that this team plays and the style that they play, we can run up the score somewhat, and if you force the other team to work down the field, you have more of an opportunity for them to have a turnover. So the more that they're out there, the more that they have to work to get to it,
you
increase the chance of a turnover instead of going over the top and scoring quickly.
Appreciate the call, buddy.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate you. Very, very nice of you. Now, is it okay if I take a break?
Well, you're the one that said we were going to break at 3:10, and you tried to break at 3:08, so.
Well, it was 3:09, but who's counting? Let's take the break, because Chris Rodriguez Jr. is expected to give us a call after practice here from Ashburn on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Chris Rodriguez Jr. is expected to give us a shout here in a moment or two, just wrapping up some things at the facility. The media is meeting with Marshawn Lattimore, or just did. Adam Peters and Dan Quinn spoke earlier today. One thing we haven't really gotten into, again, is whether Lattimore is actually going to play this Sunday or not.
I don't. It doesn't sound like it based on some of the quotes coming out.
Right.
I don't. I wasn't concerned about this Sunday. Let me walk that back. I more so looked at the two Philadelphia matchups, and then the Atlanta matchup. Mm-hmm. It's like you gotta have them.
Well, sure, but the Atlanta matchup is way down the road. That's right after Christmas. Sure, sure. I mean, most importantly,
you see
I
what
would
I'm saying
think,
though,
yeah.
in terms of like wide receivers, yeah. like George Pickens. I think sure. like George Pickens is the type of wideout Benjamin St. Juice can have success with.
So. All right. Joining us right now, again, off of his 11-carry, 52-yard performance in Sunday's win at MetLife Stadium, is Chris Rodriguez Jr., and he's with us here on the BetQL guest hotline. Hey, Chris, it's Chris Russell and Linnell Willingham. Thanks for doing this. How are you?
What's up, brother?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing great, man. Congratulations on an excellent performance down the stretch on Sunday. So we'll start there. We'll get to the number thing and Marshawn Lattimore in a sec. I was at the game, obviously, from a far distance. I mean, I could see you were banging, you were trying to find holes, you were trying to find creases. Do you think like the, and I don't know if this was by design, the ability to bring you in the second half by Cliff after Austin Eckler and a little McNichols, that allowed you to have some of that success that you had?
I actually do, although it wasn't by design, or at least I don't think it was. I think it's good when, the offense does a little switch up. Mm-hmm. The defense, they're hitting like, Austin Eckler, who's really, he's a powerful back, and Jeremy, who's really quicker and still powerful. And then somebody comes in like myself, who's a little heavier, and, a little bit more downhill. So I think it did help a little bit, but at the same time, I never really know.
I think it helped for sure, man. I think your running style and how, heavy you are getting downhill, I think it helps the overall identity of this offense. I think that's what you and Brian, and all the backs bring to this thing. But I want to ask you like a bigger picture question here. This is your second year in the National Football League. Last year you came in, it's your rookie year, your head's swimming. To go back home for the summer and come into this environment with a running backs coach and Anthony Lynn that's had so much success, a veteran like Austin Eckler that's had a tremendous amount of success in this league, how much have you learned to this point, man? I know last year was a lot because you're a rookie, but with the game slowing down for you and then the minds that you've been able to be around this year, how much smarter are you as a back, man?
Man, honestly, a lot smarter. Last year was about just, I felt like I was just trying to learn the plays and, trying to not to be wrong. Where as of this year, it's different. You're around Austin Eckler, who no matter what he's doing, he has his iPad with him. He's studying the plays, looking at the defenses. He's doing different stuff to, better himself. And then we go out to practice, and of course, when we go to special teams, you see Austin working his craft and doing different things. And, that's helped me a lot. And then, you got Jeremy, who he might not get most of the reps at a running back position, but when I have questions on special teams, he's there to answer those questions. But I will say I'm a lot smarter than I was last year. The game has definitely slowed down for me.
That's great. Chris Rodriguez Jr., Washington Commanders running back, big performance in the second half in Sunday's win, looking ahead to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll get to all that in a second. Chris, I wanted to ask you this. On the 17-yard run, I don't know if what exactly you remember of it, but you pressed, I think it was Allegretti, and you really pressed the hole hard and then a little cutback. I think that's a zone run, but maybe I'm wrong. What's the most important thing when you get a situation like that and say you're trying to like press the hole? Is it your footwork? Is it your head? Is it your shoulder lean? What do you like? I guess X and O and philosophy wise, what are you looking to do in that particular spot?
Yeah, so I'm not completely sure which play it was, mm-hmm. but we do practice those things at practice, whether it's, pressing the hole and making the cut at the line while at the same time reading those linebackers mm-hmm. and seeing where their flow is. And coach, we have like little moves that we do in the hole. He doesn't like it too much. He doesn't like too much. He calls it pitter-patting in the hole. So we have what we call a bop. It's like just a little quick little head nod, a little shoulder lean, and that's really all it was. But yeah, coach, he doesn't like a lot of pitter patting, is what he says. So yeah, it's just that little bop motion. See where those linebackers are going, and try to hit it behind them.
That sounds good to me,
man. You had a pass blocking rep, dog, where it's like you damn near took the dude's left leg off. I think you all as a backfield have done a really good job at that. For you, though, like, what's been what talk the casual fan, I guess, C-Rob, through your what you're seeing on a play like that when you're in pass protection, because I think that's the most underrated part of the position.
Well, you know, some of those plays are drawn up for that to happen.
Okay.
And that play specifically, I had to ask Jaden. I was like, you know, like, hey, I didn't get this rep and team. Like, what do we have again? He told me. He was like, all right, just I'm going to fake it to you. Go cut him. I said, all right, cool. That's easy enough. So when I did not know that he spun around like that. I didn't know that till I watched the film. Everybody's like, hey, good block right there. Good block. I'm like,
punished.
Is it just, I thought I just, you know, cut him enough to where he got his hands down. And then Jaden was able to throw the ball. I didn't know he did a whole 360 and then stayed on his feet after that, which is a freak athlete.
Right.
But I didn't know until I came on the we came in and watched film.
Interesting. Chris Rodriguez Jr. with us of the Washington Commanders. They host the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday afternoon, the 7-2 Commanders. One last football-y thing, and then we got to get to the number in Lattimore here in a sec. The 3rd-and-1 carry that iced the game that ultimately allowed you guys to kneel down. In that spot, I mean, you are physical, you're hitting the hole, you're fighting, you're churning. Like, are you thinking, wait, don't score there? Or are you thinking, hey man, I've got to get the first down, or are you thinking score? What do you remember about the mental or thought process?
So I don't know if you saw before that play, I was looking to the sideline at DQ asking him, is it okay to score, or do you want me, you know, just to get down? I know right now it's all about the ball. So if you watch, I had two hands on the ball, but Jaden came in on that 3rd-and-1. And he was like, hey, like, you can score right here.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, man, I'm about to go score. And then I freaking ran into Dexter Lawrence,
which
ultimately brought me down at the 1 yard line. And
not
we got first down.
Right?
So, yeah, nah, not,
right, okay,
not at
man.
All. But,
that's great.
Yeah, he got me down on the 1, and it had to be the perfect position that we got the first down, but not a touchdown. So, yeah.
That's great. That's a great answer.
C-Rod,
I love
that. You know, I got to ask you the $1 million question here. You're a good sport. You're one of my favorites. I love the way you hustle on special teams. Marshawn Lattimore comes in here. You know how significant of an upgrade this is for this football team.
For sure.
He's been rocking 23 his entire career, brother. What was the conversation like? I see he's in the 23. Did he give you an extra piece of change, brother? Because you can take me out after the show, brother, man.
Oh, man.
Nah, so when I did see it, I saw it yesterday that we picked him up, and I saw the number that he was rocking.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I know who he is, you know, four-time Pro Bowler. He's a vet in the situation, you know. So when I saw, I, like, texted the equipment manager, like, hey, am I still in 23? Like, what's going on? He was like, well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. So when I came in, I saw all the numbers, and I'm like, all right, well, first off, none of these numbers are going to look anywhere as good on him as a 23 would. And he's a vet, and he's a football bowler, and he's helping our team. So it just seemed right, you know. And,
for sure.
You know, I talked to him and asked him, like, do you want it? He was like, yeah, you know, we had a conversation or whatever. But just know, like, I got enough for where it's like, for me, it's like, cool. I'm not the type to break the bank and whatever, you know. He's a good dude. Although we haven't talked that much, I can tell, like, he's a good dude. So
sure.
It's all good.
That's awesome, man.
Looks good on me anyway.
I'm about to say, there you go. Some dogs at the 136
there you go.
Now.
There you go. And maybe we'll see it again on Sunday doing damage against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chris, we know you got to run for meetings. We appreciate you making some time for us. Great spot, great explanation on everything. Really happy to have you. And congratulations again.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, that is Chris Rodriguez Jr., Washington Commanders running back. Obviously, we wanted to be respectful of their time, their schedule, and their meetings. Thanks to Sam at Commanders Public Relations for helping us out, as always. With that, wanted to bring you that. Chris, do we – too many Chris's on this show right now. Chris Rodriguez, me, you. Do we have to – can we go a couple minutes here, or,
yeah,
or can we squeeze in another call? Why don't we squeeze in another call, right? Because everybody wants me to take calls, and everybody wants me to have Linnell's supporters. Why don't we do that?
Jonesy's been on hold almost an hour.
All right, let's get to Jonesy because Jones, Bones, they all hate me. So, Jonesy, what's up? How are you?
Hello, Jonesy.
Hey, man, come on, Chris. I don't hate you, man. Stop it.
I'm just busted chops.
I know. You are my favorite guy, still coming off the top turn, buckle, the Randy Savage forearm to pin the daggone jobber, man. Stop it. So, anyway, check this out. I hate to do this to you again. The last time I spoke to you when Linnell was there, I had to ride shotgun with Linnell. I got to do it again. Look, and I speak from a defensive standpoint of we got to stop the damn run. Why? Because in situational football especially, the more I can put the quarterback in trouble to put the game on his arm, the more chances I give my cornerbacks, and yeah, get some damn cornerbacks, to pretty much put them in position to get pick sixes, picks off the field, and get game-changing type of plays here. That's what I need. So, yeah, I need to stop the run in order to do that. Because the more chance I give you to run the ball and you keep gashing me for yards and this, that, and the other, I'm giving myself, you know, that much more harder chances to win. So, yeah, I got to ride with Linnell again. I need to stop the run. I need to stop the run over the pass.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm with you. Thank you, Jonesy. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for hanging in there. Again, I'm normally a run guy. Like, if I'm building a football team, I want to win on the line of scrimmage. I want to build with – and Linnell's absolutely right. Wait, cut that up, because that's the first time I've ever said that on this show. Linnell's absolutely right. I've covered, you know, a bunch of defensive coordinators. I started with Greg Blosch, Jim Haslett, Joe Barry, Greg Minuski, Jack Del Rio. Was there somebody else in between? And now Joe Witt Jr. I have 5-6 different defensive coordinators just in my time covering this team. They all want to stop the run. That great. That's how you ideally want to build your football team, your DNA. Got it. Again, I'm not talking building philosophy. I'm talking about how you would rather get beat. You know, and there's something to be said, like the other night. Would you rather go for two if you're Todd Bowles and have your game come down to one play and one play only, where anything can go wrong? Or would you rather die by death by paper cuts, even against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs? And I'd rather die by death by paper cuts as opposed to one play, even though I could potentially take the lead, I could also potentially lose on that one play. Let's get one last one in here before the bottom of the hour trending alert. Nate is in Upper Marlboro. Hello, Nate. How are you?
Nate. Oh, good. What's up, fellas?
What's up, what's shaking, Nate?
Ain't nothing much, man. Hey, I'm going to have to agree with Linnell.
No!
Sorry. Hey, man, listen. There's a couple of things. Pugh making some good points. There's a couple of things they're missing, right? So the reason why, and I hear you, Chris, on the philosophy thing, but it's not really a philosophy thing. It's a football 101 thing, really. Because if you're able to stop the run, right, you make the other team one-dimensional, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, also, remember, every quarterback in the league isn't a Hall of Famer.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody isn't Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, right? But if you allow a team to run, they will look like that on you. You hear what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? So a running game, right, will turn a below-average quarterback
into an average quarterback.
Well, how about this? You just cite the example from Sunday. And again, Linnell's right about this. And we've talked about this in general, both of us individually. The Giants were able to run the football on those two drives in the first half. Daniel Jones was not able to throw the football for the most part. He had no passing yards, but he did have the short touchdown for whatever that's worth. Right. But then in the second half, they were able to use play action, the threat of the run, accelerated a passing attack which was dead as you know what in the first half and came alive in the second half, and they almost won that game.
And you know why it came alive in the second half?
Sure, the threat of the run and play action and all that, yeah. But you still have to execute. You still have to execute, obviously, the passing game, but yeah.
It wasn't just that, like you said, execution. It wasn't just the threat of the run. Yeah. The Giants was executing it, so they was gashing us. So it forced us to change. So that's why he was able to pass after that. That's why it's important to start the run, because if you look at the Ravens don't care how much you throw on them. Mm-hmm. You know what you're not going to do? Mm-hmm. You're not going to run the ball. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's fair.
That puts it in your favor.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I'm saying? Because now your corners, all they have to do is worry about one job, and that's covering.
All right. Good call.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, Nate. Appreciate you. You know, listen, I would say this. Yes, the Ravens are built to stop the run and are really good at it, but everybody knows they can throw the football against Brandon Stevens and whoever, and now they drafted, they traded for Tre'Davious White and whatever. So maybe they'll get a little bit better. I still like, obviously, Lattimore over that trade, but maybe they'll get a little bit better. But everybody knows they've got a major weakness, right? And they're going to attack it, just like everybody knows right now the Commanders have a major weakness. They're going to attack it. All right. Cleanup on aisle three coming straight ahead. As well, I think I can say this. Now I just was told Corey Kispert's going to join us tomorrow afternoon on the show. That is scheduled. So good news there from the Washington Wizards. As they have a couple of days in between games here after the Golden State Warrior loss on Monday. Coming up now, the trending alert right here, right now. All right, so the Commanders done with practice. You just heard from Chris Rodriguez Jr. He switched out of the number 23 to number 36 in favor of Marshawn Lattimore, the newly acquired cornerback from the New Orleans Saints, who was at the facility today. Trade official. He did not practice. His status moving forward for this Sunday against the Steelers, unknown. Brian Robinson Jr. was thought to have practiced on a limited basis. Again, his status not exactly known for this Sunday as well. Well, our status is this. The Force of Earl. Earl Forsey begins our pregame coverage on Sunday morning right here on the Team 980 and Odyssey app at 9 a.m. Linnell and D-Day. A couple hours before the game, and Burgundy and Gold in-game live, and then the DOC takes you home out of Northwest Stadium on the postgame right here on the Team 980. Patrick Mahomes said not to be limited this week in practice, according to Andy Reid, after the ankle injury suffered in regulation late on Monday night in the overtime win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the first college football 12-team playoff ranking are out. No surprise, perhaps. Oregon, number one, followed by Ohio State, Georgia, Miami, and Texas rounding out the top five. And that's what's trending. All right, 336, Team 980. Good to have you with us. Still to come, dum-dum of the day. Marshawn Lattimore again at the Commanders facility, has already met with the media. The trade, of course, official. Whether he'll play this Sunday or not, we don't know. He's acquired the number 23. We just had Chris Rodriguez Jr., who had the number 23, explain how that transaction and that process went down. If you missed any of it, hit the Odyssey app, rewind to right around 3:15, almost exactly 3:15. It was great conversation, both on the field and a little bit behind the scenes and off the field with C-Rod. Happy for that guy because, you know, he didn't make the initial 53-man roster. He's still not on the 53-man roster, but because of game day elevations and whatnot, and we might see it again this week because we don't know about Brian Robinson. They were at least telling people in the media as late as Sunday morning, 9:30, 9:45, that they felt good about Brian Robinson playing, and then he went out there for the pregame warm-up, and he didn't. So if you missed any of Chris Rodriguez, we talked about his big third-down run to get the first down there, and whether it – I thought that was a fascinating fascinating story, and I'm glad I asked the question about, you know, are you trying to score? Are you trying to get the first down? Are you trying not, you know, what are you trying to do? And he's talking about how Jaden Daniels told him, hey, it's good. It's okay to score after he communicated with Dan Quinn. I thought that was a really, really, really good spot and exchange there with the young running back. So make sure you check that out in the podcast as well after the show. Chris Rodriguez Jr. just joining us right there. It is time for cleanup on aisle three. Some of the things we have not been able to opine on right here, right now. Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Clean up on aisle three. So I mentioned the 12-team playoff bracket and whatever is unveiled, like the first rankings, whatever. We'll see this every, I guess, Tuesday night now moving forward. First time ever for the 12-team college football playoff field. Really no surprises. Ohio State, Georgia, Miami. Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, Miami, and Texas. But in terms of the first buys and all that stuff, right, the first four seeds have to be conference champions. That's Oregon, Georgia, Miami, and BYU. Now, BYU is in the field, of course, but not in the top five, but they would get a bye because they're a conference champion, or at least right now. So, again, keep in mind some things have to shake out here, and obviously we've got a long way to go just in the regular season and then conference championships and whatever. But was there any surprise at all in any way, shape, or form to you, Linnell?
No, not really. No, I'll go with no. The one thing that I am eager to see is when we get the official rankings, and I think everyone's going to be looking for this too. Which one of the teams that aren't in the top four have the best shot of like really upsetting one of those teams? Mm-hmm. And that to me is what has my attention.
You mean the official rankings at the end of the season? Gotcha.
When we get to the official rankings at the end, like who's going to be that non-top four seed that's got the best shot. I know everyone's dragging James Franklin and Penn State about a one-possession loss, Chris, to Ohio State. That Ohio State's a better football team.
Sure.
They've been the better football team. They have the better recruiting.
But Penn State's got to find a way to execute better in the red zone.
They can't get over the top. Between those two quarterbacks, which quarterback would you rather have?
Well, sure. I mean, but it's not like Will Howard's lighting up the world, is he? I mean, he's good.
No, That's what I'm saying, though, ultimately. It's like that to me will be Ohio State's shortcoming. If they don't win the national championship this year, based on how active they were in the portal and the money that they spent, like, they'd be an abject failure. Ryan Day's best Ohio State team.
Well, remember, right, you know, they're the number two team right now. Mm-hmm. They lost at Oregon in a game they probably should have won because their quarterback was a little bit of a dum-dum.
Well, at some point, man, I may be calling for the young buck, man. Mr. Saiyan?
Mm. Well, there you go.
I mean, all right.
I just wanted to, you know, throw it out there because I know you talk a lot of college football on your Infinity Sports Radio, the all-new Infinity Sports Radio Network.
You know what I'm more excited about?
What's that?
The fact that in a couple of weeks from now, Deion and company may win the Pac-12. So,
perhaps.
Or Big 12, what are we calling it?
Yeah, it's not the Pac. Well, it used to be the Pac-12. Now, yeah, the Big 12.
The Big 12, sorry.
Yeah. Because the Pac-12 is now the Pac-2, and then
Colorado, man. If for someone that dunked on that program as much as you did early in the year,
wait a second. Now, that's ridiculous. Yeah, Chris, I was a huge supporter of Deion when he first got to Boulder.
I'm talking about earlier this year when college football
started. Well, because he's trying to control the free world.
They winning games. Now what? Okay. They should have beat Kansas State.
All right. Well, they haven't won enough games to obviously get in the top 12. So when they can get in the top 12.
They're going to be in the top 12.
Right, well, let's see.
They will
be. Let's see. And listen, by the way, that would be great for college football.
Yes.
Especially if you get, again, if Notre Dame can stay in there. Right now they're in the top 12. You know, if some of the blue bloods, if you will, can stay in there.
They got to beat the tar out of Texas Tech this weekend, though.
Right. Colorado?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same record.
Yeah. I mean, Texas Tech is not unbeatable by any stretch.
No, they're not. But like, that's the game you gotta flex your muscles.
Yeah, show us what you got. All right, last thing on cleanup on aisle three, or maybe not the last thing. Juan Soto is a free agent, and as we know, the Yankees fell short in the World Series. Now, his agent Scott Boras, who only cares about getting every last damn dollar, Now, he would argue just the opposite of that. He would argue it's about fit and this, that, and the other thing. The general manager's meetings opening up today in San Antonio. And he said, due to the volume of interest and Juan's desire to hear from teams, I can't put a time frame on it, but it's going to be a very thorough process for him. He wants to meet people personally. He wants to talk with them. He wants to hear from them. Now, that includes the Yankees, the Mets, of course. I presume the Nationals will make a legitimate, serious offer, what have you. What is your best guess? Mm. It is November 6th right now.
Yeah.
If I said, what is your best guess in terms of the date that Juan Soto chooses a new team?
Oh, a date.
A date.
A date.
Because a lot of people think these big signings come at the winter meetings, which is like usually between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I don't know the exact date this year, but a lot of people think then. I think Juan Soto is going to slow play this, and I think it's going to be mid-January before we find out where Juan Soto is going, because he wants it to build. He wants that momentum. And Boris wants it. An 18, like, you got a 12-team college football playoff field, and he can get a 12-team derby, making legitimate serious offers for his guy, that's only going to push that number up.
I agree sooner that they're going to drag
it. I don't need an exact date, but sooner or later.
I think they're going to drag it out, but like ultimately, if you're Juan, like, I mean, the two teams that, and maybe I'm clearly biased here, I look at Washington and the Yankees and go, why not choose? Yankees are ready to go now. You were a couple of games short of getting over the hump here. You've got stable ownership that's going to spend some money. And then the Nats, your feel-good story, you come back home, and then you get to help groom what could end up being, what, the best outfield in baseball in a couple of years. Like,
yeah, if you could have Juan Soto, James Wood, I mean, and Dylan Cruz. Like that. I mean, no offense to Jacob Young. I mean, you got to, you know.
You know, but I'm saying, like, what appeals to you more? And yeah. I think everyone I continue to ask about this says it's not a big deal and it won't influence the decision. This is little brothers in the organization. Dog. Yeah,
I think the bigger thing is that he's already been here and he knows the Lerners and the Lerner family intimately. Yeah. Here's the one thing. I said this last week. Like, if you and I don't understand every ounce of the competitive balance tax, but there is one team that is in really, 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 really good shape when it comes to the CBT and not going past it, not losing draft picks, and not
because
getting
spending too much, right?
And that's the Nationals because they haven't spent anything largely.
Right.
Right now,
there's a change of philosophy.
3 or 4 years down the road, if you sign Juan Soto to a 12-year, $650 million deal. 3 or 4 years down the road, when you have to do a long-term deal with James Wood and or Dylan Cruz, or maybe both, both turn out to be iconic, you're going to have a problem.
For sure.
And you could still sign Juan Soto this offseason and still go out and get a Corbin Burns or somebody like that. Now, the one thing I will also add, and this is from a Mets perspective, not only Steve Cohen, he's got more money, but I mean, they are way, 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 way over the CBT until this upcoming year right now on the books, according to Cots baseball contracts. And I think they would absolutely choose Juan Soto over Pete Alonso, 100%. Who's also a free agent. And you can't blame them for that, even though Pete's a big part of what the Mets did.
26.
You have to do that, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, if you have to make one, I mean, you can't do both. No. You have to make one of the. So I do wonder whether Juan is going to do anything more than really, you know, I think he's going to give the Nationals a meeting. I think the Nationals are going to make a competitive offer. What I don't know is, are the Nationals going to do one of these syrupy, 14-year, $444 million deals?
Type of deal?
Yeah.
We assume Juan wants the long-term deal, but if you come to a situation like Washington where you have to keep it in the back of your mind, hey, in a couple of years, we're going to have to pay some guys. Does that entice you to sign a shorter, more upfront deal?
You know, that's a really good question. I have been stuck on the long-term deal, the Bryce Harper-ish deal. 13.
I don't think that makes sense for the organization.
For Juan Soto, if you think
and
about
him,
it.
And him, the chance to hit free agency again.
Because like, now there is some risk, quick. But I mean, again, Juan Soto is 26, right?
When does he turn 27? This year? Pete Alonso is 20, what is he, 29, yeah. Turns 30
I don't remember exactly, but he's 26. We know what he is. He's already been here. But to your point, instead of signing the 12 or 13 or 14-year deal for the bigger money and locking yourself in and whatever, and not being able to control some of that, sign a 3 or 4 year deal for.
You go 4 for what, 250 or 4 for 300? Is that the math right on that?
That's 75 a year.
I mean, well.
I mean, you're gonna have to give him 60 a year minimum. I would think.
So what is that, like 4 for?
Yeah, I mean, it would be four. Yeah, it would be math. it would be 4 for 240 basically. Something at like 60 million a year. Say 4 for 250. High, yeah. Just use that as an example. I think that might be enticing to Juan Soto, where he can hit free agency again
at
the age of 30 or 30 into 31 or whatever it is. That's interesting. Of course, Shohei Ohtani, 10-year, $700 million deal with the Dodgers, but a lot of that is deferred and all that stuff. That's how the Dodgers were able to get that done. I don't know if the Yankees are going to be able to do this, considering that Gerrit Cole basically opted back, or not opted back in, but re-signed back in. They have, obviously, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton on long, long-term deals, very lucrative deals. I don't know if the Yankees are going to be willing to do that or able to do it. Of course, they can from a bottom-line business, but you really got to be careful about the CBT tax and all the punishments and all of that. You know, it's a very complicated system, and actually, again, the Nationals are in the absolute best spot to do something and be aggressive.
I'm picking at you, admittedly, here, but can you say a couple of these names for me? You New Yorkers, I listen to BT and Sal all day. Gerrit Cole. It's Gerrit Cole, not Gerrit Cole. It's so, you New Yorkers. What's another name on this roster?
You New Yorkers.
Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge. It's Aaron Judge.
I mean, Are people not allowed to have different accents?
No, it's just funny. I love New Yorkers. Uh-huh. I love listening to New York radio, by the way. Hence why I'm so fiery.
Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah. Maybe you should be a little less fiery. We'd get along better.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole, Luis Gil.
Coming up next, it is Dum Dum of the Day. We'll wrap up the show right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Nice. Well done, Chris. Craig Hoffman coming up next. Again, programming alert. Corey Kispert from the Washington Wizards expected to join us tomorrow afternoon right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. But it is time for Dum Dum of the Day, how we celebrate, laugh, or shake our head at some of the idiocy that this world forces us to live in. Yeah, headline here is pretty weird. Florida's convicted killer clown. Yes, that's a real headline in the Associated Press. Has been released from prison for the murder of her husband's then-wife. Got me? She's a convicted killer clown. So,
Is she from outer space?
Maybe. She was just dropped off by a UFO. So she pleaded guilty originally to dressing as a clown. And then in 1990, which was before I even graduated high school, she murdered, allegedly, but she pleaded guilty to it, the wife of a man that she would later marry. She would later marry the man, not the dead wife that she murdered. She's been released now from prison in the state of Florida. She's 61 years old. She was released 18 months after she pleaded guilty to a second-degree murder charge of shooting the woman way back in 1990. She's maintained her innocence even after she pleaded guilty. Her lawyer says she only pleaded guilty so she can get out of jail for significant credit and whatever, and there's a bunch of legal crap to go and what have you. She said, the lawyer, the state attorney said, Sheila Keen Warren, who is the convicted clown woman, will always be an admitted convicted murderer and will wear that stain for every day for the rest of her life. Well, there's a lot more here, and there's a lot more to go with this, and I don't want to bore you with the details, but if she's a convicted murderer, if she has pleaded guilty to committing murder, if the police have the DNA, the scientific evidence, which is how they ultimately found her all these years later and convicted her and were able to try her, if she admitted to it all, why is she getting out after 18 months? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the state of Florida, the dumbest state in all the land, in a sea of idiocy that we're all forced to live with in this country. Thank you very much. That is Dumb Dumb of the Day. I just don't get it. I don't get a lot of things. I was hoping to go to sleep last night and wake up in a different country, but that didn't happen. Maybe one day I'll get my rite of passage so I can go to a hockey-loving country in Canada and live happily ever after. That's going to do it for us. Liddell shaking his head. Craig Hoffman coming up next. Again, thanks to Chris Rodriguez Jr. for joining us. That was an excellent spot. If you missed it, podcast out after the show. Rewind, Odyssey up to 3:15. Hoffman will take you through on your Wednesday afternoon. Linnell, you okay over there?
Yes, I survived.
Okay. All right, thank you. I survived as well. For Linnell Willingham, for Chris Buresh on the other side of the glass, I am merely the Rooster. Have a great Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, heavy metal Chris. That's right. That's what Doc calls you. I am merely the Rooster, Chris Russell. Have a great Wednesday afternoon. Adios on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.